Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. It's Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's, as we broadcast live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer with you as we mourn the loss of Milwaukee Brewers broadcasting legend Bob Uecker today, 90 years old, set to turn 91 next week. And taking your reaction, your calls throughout the day, Nicolay Law talk and text line there for you, 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. Being joined now by a guy that was his broadcast partner in the booth for a long time, a guy that when I was growing up too, I'd hide my radio under my pillow to listen to these two guys do West Coast radio games when I was supposed to be sleeping for school. He is now, of course, and has been for a long time, now in the Baseball Hall of Fame. He is Pat Hughes, voice of the Chicago Cubs, joining us. Pat, thanks so much for coming on. I appreciate it.
Well, Steve, I'm happy to be with you. I'm sad about the news regarding Bob Uecker. He was a once-in-a-lifetime talent. Very unique individual, very complicated man, brilliant, and certainly very influential on me and my life and my career.
Beck, tell us about the beginning, because I'm not quite sure I've ever heard you talk about the beginning. Those first interactions, those first few months of working with Bob Uecker, and when you realized that you were dealing with something really special.
Well, it was nerve-wracking, I think, whenever you job, and I started with Bob in 1984. I worked in Minnesota on television in 83, so Milwaukee 84 was my second year in the major leagues and my first year doing full-time radio. I did TV in Minnesota, so I was working with Bob and he taught me a lot. I learned a lot about baseball. In fact, I'm sure since he was the first ex-player that I sat next to and worked with every day for a full season, and I worked 12 seasons with Bob, I'm sure that he taught me more baseball than any other person. In fact, when I got the call from Cooperstown a couple of years ago, Bob was one of the first people to call me. He called me within an hour, and I said, Bob, I think you taught me more baseball than any other person. And he said, well, I probably should have learned the game myself before I tried it to you. So he was witty beyond belief, a great speaker, a stand-up comedian. He was great fun to watch on the Johnny Carson show, and he was just a once-in-a-lifetime talent. Again, a great, great radio baseball man. He did a lot of TV, but I think Bob, like me and like a lot of us, really loved radio baseball work. It's an unbelievably great way to go through life.
Talk about that aspect of the chemistry. You know, doing sports talk radio, you work with different people over the years. Sometimes you have great chemistry, sometimes you don't. Bob's had a numerous amount of different broadcast partners over the course of time, and it feels like, at least listening, the chemistry always just tends to be there. Like, it never feels awkward or weird. He just seemed to kind of meld himself into with whoever he was working with.
Yeah, I think so. I think he was, you know, he was very sensitive in that regard. He knew how difficult the job is. I think all of us who do live reporting of any sporting event, it's difficult. And baseball is the most difficult because of the volume of games and the amount of travel and the fact that you do, well, if you're doing spring training, and regular season, you could do 180 ball games in a year. There's no other sport that even compares in that regard. So it's a difficult thing to do. And Bob realized that. He realized it for himself and for his partners. And I think he went out of his way to try to make it easy. He had that great sense of humor. So he often would make everyone laugh and relax tense moments by laughter. He was gifted in that regard. So, no, I learned a lot from him. He was, like I said at the start, a very complicated man. I think I probably knew him about as well as anyone, but I don't feel like I knew him all that well, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. Talking with Cubs radio play-by-play guy Pat Hughes and Hall of Famer himself as we talk about the passing of Bob Uecker earlier today. It is Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's here on the Fan. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer with you. Talk about what it was like to travel on the road, stay at those hotels, and what it would be like dealing with the fans, because I'm assuming he probably had fans waiting to get his autograph at all the different hotels besides the players themselves.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there was never a shortage of autograph seekers around Bob Uecker, that's for sure. he, I think, enjoyed being a celebrity, as people do, but I think he enjoyed his privacy very much as well, and he did not seek to be around a lot of people. Many times he would want to be off by himself and not engage and not mix in with a whole lot of people. He had that private side to him. He liked to read, and he was a thinker. He liked to play golf. I played many, many rounds of golf with him, and he was, like I said, a very smart man, a great speaker. He just had that once in a lifetime wit about him, and if you were around him, you were going to laugh. That's all there is to it.
You know, the other part about this, too, is obviously he had a lot of legendary calls throughout his career. He always seemed to be on the mic when there was that big moment that happened. Is there one or two that stands out to you in your memories?
Well, it was an Easter Sunday game, you're old enough.
Rob Deere, yep. Dale Swain.
1987, right? Rob Deere, excuse me, having a little trouble here. Rob Deere had a home run to tie the game, and then Dale Swain had the game winner. It gave the Brewers, I believe, 12 in a row. It was Easter Sunday, and it was just such a shocking win at County Stadium. The crowd went crazy. Bob made a great, great call. That probably is the most memorable game that we did together. He called Robin Yount's 3,000th hit. I was never around him for any postseason games. Sadly, in our 12 years together, the Brewers did not play a single playoff game. So there were a lot of bad years and a lot of very forgettable seasons, regrettably, during that period. I wish that he and I could have done a team that made it to the playoffs and maybe even made it to the World Series, but that was not in the cards. But I think the Easter Sunday game of 87 would be the most memorable.
You know, Pat Hughes, when we talk about Bob Uecker and we talk about TV, obviously everybody talks about the Johnny Carson show and so forth. And that took him away a little bit. But obviously the Belvedere show was the one that took him away the most. And I was watching a TV show a few weeks ago talking about how he was recording the Mr. Belvedere show, and he felt kind of guilty being away from the team and being recording. What was that whole process like when he was away recording for TV?
Well, it meant that I did more of the work, so that was one thing that came up immediately. I did six innings of play-by-play instead of three. But, the character that he played on Mr. Belvedere, he was acting. That was not Bob Uecker. That was simply a character he was playing. Bob was much different from the role that he played on that show. I know. Enjoyed it. It was very lucrative for him. It was simply part of his entertainment career, and I only watched the show a few times, to be very honest with you. It was not really my cup of tea, but it was a good gig for him, and I know he enjoyed being part of it.
Time with Pat Hughes, voice of the Chicago Cubs, Hall of Famer himself, here on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's, here on The Fan, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer with you. When we talk about Bob Uecker, and you said earlier, stand-up comedian and everything that went along with it, when you would be doing a game, obviously as you got to know him better and better, you figured out kind of his sense of humor and when he was starting to go maybe a little bit sideways on something. How long did it take you to figure that out? How long was he able to kind of pull you along before you figured out what was going on?
Well, that's a good question. I think it was Bob's show. I knew that. I think all of his partners knew that he was the main guy. He was the number one man, and it was his show. And whatever direction he wanted to take it, that's the way it would go. And you kind of followed him. In fact, we all followed him. So I think he was smart about not getting into topics that were uncomfortable. I think he kept it pretty G-rated, and I think he was very smart in that regard. I think that's the way we all have to play it when you're a live performer and it's a baseball audience and you've got kids and you've got women and you've got just the whole spectrum of the population listening. You have to be careful. And I think Bob was very good about that.
What was his relationship like with the players? I think that was one aspect that he really enjoyed more than others.
I agree, Steve. I think he was an ex-player. And I think once you are a big league ball player, there will be a part of you that will consider that the most important part of your life. Because it's a very special thing. There's fewer than 1,000 guys who are big league ball players at any given time on the planet. And when you think about guys in America, you've got the Dominican, you've got, now Japanese players, 1,000. That's it. And there are millions of us who would love to have been big league ball players. We just didn't have the talent. So, yeah, he was very proud that he played in the major leagues. And when you think about his career, 6 years in the middle of the 1960s in the National League, I would say that would be a pretty good candidate to be the golden era of Major League Baseball. When you look at all of the concentrated, fantastic talent, just in my hometown of San Jose, I was a Giants fan. The Giants had Willie Mays, Willie McCovey, Orlando Cepeda, Juan Marichal, Gaylord Perry. That's five Hall of Famers that Uecker played against. He was facing guys like Sandy Koufax. Bob Gibson was a teammate of Bob's in St. Louis, Don Drysdale. But, you know, look at the Cubs, the team that I now work for. The Cubs had Billy Williams, Arnie Banks, Ron Santo, Fergie Jenkins. It was an amazing time to be a baseball fan, a young fan like myself. I was growing up at that time. But to be a big league ball player at that time had to be very, very special for anybody because, again, of the unbelievable concentration of great talent in the National League when Uecker played.
Pat, thank you so much for coming on this very emotional, tough day as we mourn the passing of Bob Uecker earlier today. I really appreciate you taking some time out and joining me, man. Thank you so much.
Happy to do it, Steve. He'll be missed. He was a once-in-a-lifetime person. He really was.